Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. This is part two of the runners-up interviews that I did recently. Listen to part one of this to get the sort of background story and the context, which I'm sure that you already know anyway. This is part two, and in this one you're going to hear my interviews with Yannick from Switzerland, Aritz from Spain, Phil from Italy, and finally Javier from Spain. Okay, I explained in the first part that there on some of these recordings there's a bit of a delay. Okay, there's a little bit of a delay, which means that my interviewee's response is slightly delayed, and it sounds like I'm speaking over them a little bit, which is annoying. It sounds like I'm rudely sort of cutting them off or speaking over people, which I find very irritating, but there's not really anything I can do about it because I can't really go back and do the interviews all over again because none of us have got enough time. So instead, we just have to tolerate a slight technical problem, which is that, for example, when my interviewee speaks, I don't give them enough time at the end and I seem to cut them off, but it's just because of a delay which wasn't there during the interview but then somehow appeared during the recording. It's not too bad, it just makes it sound like I'm rude, which is a little bit annoying. Anyway, if I keep talking about it, I'll make it worse than it actually is, and after a while you don't really notice. But anyway, I thought I'd just mention that. Right, so let's carry on. We're now going to hear from my next interview, which was with Yannick from Switzerland. So here is my conversation with Yannick. Hello, Yannick.
Hello, Luke.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Very well, thank you. Very well. How does it feel to be on Luke's English Podcast?
It feels great. I didn't expect me to be on your podcast, but feels great. I'm a bit nervous, but
yeah,
I'm very excited.
Okay, how often do you speak to native speakers of English, Yannick?
Very rarely. I didn't even speak once to a native speaker.
Really?
No, I speak with my teachers, but that's not the same thing, I think.
Yeah, so this is the first time you've ever spoken to a native speaker of English?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to be the first. Yeah. Can I just say it right now at the beginning, congratulations for winning your group in this competition.
Yeah, thank you. It was head-to-head, I think. I won because of one single vote.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm very lucky about that, but it was head-to-head.
I think so. I think it was very close, but you just won by one vote, I believe.
Yeah.
Right, so first of all, let's see. Now, I know your dad. That's, in fact, a bit funny because I guess you found the podcast because your dad suggested it to you. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So I know your dad, Edgar, because I taught him at the London School of English some time ago, a few years ago. So he recommended that you listen to my podcast, did he?
Exactly.
All right. That's very nice of him. Well, let's see. So my listeners don't really know much about you except for what they heard in your recording. So maybe you can just tell us a couple of things. How old are you, Yannick?
I'm 15 and a half years old. As I said, I live in the area of Zurich, in Zug, to be specific. I still go to school. I go to college.
Do any of your friends listen to my podcast or is it just you?
Yeah, there is one friend called Samuel, and he's listening to it as well.
Oh, great. Yeah. So what, did you suggest it to him?
Yes,
right. I did. Thank you very much for, expanding my audience there slightly.
You're welcome.
Okay. Right, so 15 and a half years old. I think you must be one of the youngest listeners I've got Although I know I've got some other sort of youngsters listening to the podcast. I think someone out there is 13. Someone else who entered the competition is 13 years old. I can't remember all the names now, but obviously Luke's English podcast is popular with everybody, young and old alike, and middle aged and everyone in between. So what are you doing these days? You're at college or at school now? Which one is it?
I'm at college. I'm going to college because I want to go to university later. Yeah. And I have two paths, the exams that allow me to go to university, so that's why I'm doing it.
Okay. So what's the plan? What do you want to do at university?
I don't really know. I think I'll probably study law or something like that.
Yeah, okay. That's quite an intensive course to do, but very useful.
Yeah, it's very useful. You can go, when you have studied law, I think you can go wherever you want. Mm. You can go to the economical sector, or, yeah, you can stay. You can even become a judge or something. Yeah.
Would you like to be a judge? You could have one of those hammers. That could be quite cool.
Yeah, they're quite cool, but I don't know. A lawyer is okay.
That's enough.
But judge is a bit, you're very under pressure, I think, as a judge. Because you sort of decide what people's life go, in which direction they go. And I think it's quite hard.
It must be, yes. If you've got a very difficult decision to make, whether you send someone to prison for a long time or not, or something like that. Yeah, but at least at the end you get to whack a hammer down on a wooden thing.
That's the point. Yeah.
So despite the pressure, there are perks to that job. You get to wear an awesome wig. Do they wear wigs in Switzerland?
No, I don't think so. In England, they do.
Yeah, that's right. They still do. Still wearing the wigs and gowns as well.
That's very traditional. But in Switzerland, I don't think they wear some kind of... Yeah.
I don't think so. From what I know, the Swiss judges and lawyers don't wear the wigs. In fact, not many people do, but in the UK they definitely do. And if you go to the courts in London and you stand outside, you can actually visit the courts and see the trials take place, and you see the judges and barristers walking around in their wigs and gowns, and it's pretty cool actually. When you see it, it's like, whoa, that's quite awesome. You know, these old-fashioned traditional things still exist. And in fact, they've been given the option to get rid of them a few times. And it seems that everyone quite likes having them, so they're still there. I suppose it gives you a sense of prestige or something.
Yeah.
All right, so, okay, maybe a lawyer in the future, but maybe not a judge.
Yeah.
All right, that's great. I bet people ask you about the future all the time. You must be sick of talking about the future.
No, I think it's very important to think about your future because, these are quite important years of my life. I actually create my later life right now. So, I think it's really important that you know in which direction you will go.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, okay. Right, so I also understand that you're going to go and live in the States, aren't you? This is probably a way to improve your English.
I'm going for an exchange year, and I'm going to live with my host father. It's not a family, but it's a father. Yeah. And I'm mainly going to go there in order to improve my English, of course, but also to improve my own personality. It's going to be very cool, I think.
Yeah. Okay. What do you expect it to be like? I mean, what do you think the good and bad things will be like about leaving your home and going to the States and living with living in another house away from your family? What do you expect the good and bad things to be about that experience?
Well, I think in the first 1 or 2 months, I think everything will be awesome. Everything will seem like a film or something. And I probably get a culture shock when I'm there for about 2 or 3 months. I realized, okay, I saw enough, I want to go home. Mm. But I'm generally looking real forward to that.
Yes,
time.
I expect so, yeah. It must be, if this is like the first time you've spoken to a native speaker, I mean,
yeah.
That you'll just be speaking to native speakers all the time, just morning, noon, afternoon.
It's very good.
Yeah, it'll be a very, very good experience for your English. It's a very good idea.
Yeah.
It's a very wise move because, I mean, that year at your age, you'll be, what, 16, 17 at that point?
16 and a half years.
A year of English at that age is going to pay off a lot in the future, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
Whereabouts are you going to go again? Rochester.
Rochester.
Okay.
Rochester, that's in the state of New York. It's just below Lake Ontario, I think.
Mm-hmm. Near the Canadian border. Near to Niagara Falls, which is an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, I haven't seen them yet, but I'm certainly going to see them.
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised if you went to Niagara in like the first few weeks of being there. It's incredible, just the pure volume of water that goes over the waterfall every hour. It's just it's incredible.
You saw that?
Yeah, I went there in 1997. I was at the Canadian side. I did a trip across Canada with my cousin, and we spent a month traveling across Canada. We thought, yeah, we'll just travel across Canada for a month. We didn't realize just how big it is. We spent a lot of the time sitting on Greyhound buses. Yeah. One of the journeys took us 33 hours. In one journey.
The thing about Canada, it's a massive country, but I think the population is very small, I think.
Yeah, well, compared to the size, like the ratio between the size of the place and the number of people living there is actually quite sort of, you know, it's quite small population.
I think most of people live just above borders.
Yes, I think so, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There are obviously people who live further up to the north, but yes, it's mainly concentrated just on the border. I suppose because it's just so cold up there in the winter.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
I think you might get a little bit cold in Rochester.
Yeah, I think. Well, it's basically the same temperature like in Switzerland. So they have about 0 degrees in winter and 25 degrees in summer.
Okay. That's not bad. Not bad at all. Not bad at all. So tell me about your English, Yannick. You said in your recording that, several years ago, you couldn't really understand anything that you listened to in my podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm quite curious to know, what was it that made you keep listening? Like, let's say you were listening to the first few episodes and you kind of didn't really understand it. Why did you keep going? Or how did you manage to keep going if you didn't understand? Obviously, it's paid off because now, you know, you can understand what I'm saying and you can communicate with me. But in those sort of a couple of years ago, what was it that kept you going listening to the podcast?
You know, I knew that speaking English is very important and you have to be able to speak, to communicate in English. So I just kept that in mind and I attempted to keep going, and suddenly I understood most of your how do you say what you said, and and now I slowly see the benefit in it, so it's real great.
Okay, well, good. I'm very glad, and say hi to Samuel for me as well, would you?
Yeah, I'll do this.
Okay, great. Yannick, it's been great to talk to you.
Thank you.
And best of luck for the future.
Thank you. Have
an amazing time in America.
Thank you.
All right. I think that's all we have time for, I'm afraid. So it's just all that remains for me to say is goodbye, good luck, and may the force be with you.
Thank you. Okay,
bye. Bye. Bye, Yannick. Cheers. Bye.
Yes.
That was Yannick, the young man with the future ahead of him. What an exciting time it must be. I should also say at this point that Yannick asked me to say thank you to anyone who voted for him in the competition. For some reason, it slipped his mind during our conversation, but he did ask me to tell you thank you for your votes. So let's move on then with my next conversation with the next Yep runner-up, and this is Aritz from Spain. Unfortunately, this conversation suffers from that slightly annoying technical problem where there's a slight delay, or it makes it sound like I'm sort of cutting people off or interrupting them. So I hope that doesn't bother you too much. Anyway, let's now listen to my chat with Aritz from Spain. Hello, Aritz.
Hello, Luke.
How are you doing?
How are you doing? Fine, thank you.
Yeah, me too. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm... can I talk to almost a star?
Oh, almost a star. Yeah, I know. nearly a star.
200 more episodes and you will be a...
Maybe if I play my cards right, who knows? This could be the route to stardom, if that's what I want. I'm not sure if it is, but we'll see. So, Aritz, welcome to Luke's English Podcast.
Thank you.
For the second time now.
Yeah.
Obviously, you won your group in the competition. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
How does it feel to not only have won your group, but also to be featured on the podcast today? How does it feel?
It's a bit weird to be here, honestly. You know, 1 year, well, more than a year and a half, just listening to you and now to be part of this is not weird. It's really weird. Yeah. It's strange. But yeah, it's a good feeling. Yeah.
Did you ever expect to be actually featured on the podcast like this one day?
Oh, never, no.
Well, here you are.
Yeah.
So where are you at the moment, Aritz?
Well, at this moment I'm in London. I live in London. I came here 19 months ago, and I'm exactly in Stockwell, in South London. Oh, yeah. Just watching the cars in the street and in front of my laptop, and it's where I am.
Yeah. How is it? Is it grey and raining, or is it actually a bit sunny there?
Well, it's been rainy days. Yesterday was awful, and last days as well. And the weekend today is a bit better. It's cloudy as always in London, but it's all right. Yeah, it's getting cold.
Yes, winter is coming. Sorry about the weather, Aritz. I mean, you know.
You come to live to London or to UK, you know where where you come. So the weather is not the worst thing you can find in London.
Really, what do you think's the worst? What's the worst thing then, in your opinion?
The worst thing of living in London, I think, in my opinion, I think. It's so hard to meet with people, to move. You spend so much time in buses, in tube, just traveling to get to some places, and I think it's the worst of all.
Yeah. It's a huge city, right?
The huge city, and when you have to plan to do something, you have to think about ages before, because it's the worst thing of all.
I can tell that you're in Stockwell because I can hear police cars in the background.
Yeah. I just saw it.
It's normal. It's like every time I'm in Stockwell, there's always police cars. In fact, sometimes because I've got a friend who lives there, and my brother used to live there for a while. Sometimes I recorded episodes in Stockwell, and on every single episode that I did in Stockwell, there are police sirens in the background.
Yeah, there are lots.
Yeah, it's always police.
Some people say it's a bit rough area.
I quite like Stockwell myself, I like Brixton as well. I think it's a really cool place. Alright, so you're in London. Now, you are from Spain, and which part of Spain are you from exactly again?
I'm from Pamplona.
Right.
Pamplona is a small town in the north, very close to France, Basque Country, well, all this area.
And what is it that whenever you say to people in England, for example, that you come from Pamplona, what do people always talk to you about or ask you about?
Well, basically, they think about the festival, bulls, crazy people, and they are right.
Right. I mean, there's the
there are people they don't know, but most of the people knows about this, a bit about the city and the festival we've got.
Right. You're talking about the festival, which involves running with the bulls, which happens in July, doesn't it? You said to me.
Yeah, it's for a week. Yeah, it's well, it's not just the Bulls. I mean, it's a festival of music and bands in the streets and millions of things to do. But it's yeah, we can say it's all around the Bull and the yeah, this thing is right. The running Bulls. It happens every morning every day.
Every morning, every day of the festival. So this is, I think, is probably the most famous thing about this festival. And I'm sorry if I'm sort of being predictable, but I am going to ask you some questions about it because it's kind of famous around the world. And it's quite fascinating, just the idea that every morning during this festival, bulls are released into the town and the young men of the town run through the streets trying to avoid being killed, basically, by these bulls which have been set free. You've done this, haven't you?
I've done it, I started with 17 years old and now I'm 35, so it's been 19th year running.
So how many times do you estimate that you've done it?
Around 80 more, every year, every festival, around 5-6 running, so more or less, yeah.
Right, more or less 80 times. That's incredible. And I mean, isn't it incredibly dangerous? I mean, you know, have you ever been injured or anything?
Well, it is dangerous. It's really dangerous. Yeah, you have to know the rules. You have to know a bit about the what's going on there inside these 2, 3, 4 minutes. Yeah. And it's the best way to avoid to be injured or to have an accident. You are not free to fall down or even to get caught by a bull, but if you know what's going on there, well, you're going to be a bit safer.
Yes. So So you've never had a situation where, for example, you've been actually hit by a bull or anything?
No, it's quite common to fall down to the floor and to have some what do you say?
Like an injury, like a small injury.
Yeah, small injury. That's quite common, but not serious stuff. And
okay.
I think the people with having more problems used to be the foreigners. There are lots of Australian people there, the Americans, and
And it's the tourists who often get injured, is it?
Yeah, definitely.
I guess they don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fascinating. Is it Pamplona where you have the tomatoes as well?
No.
Sorry, that's a close.
Everybody told me about the tomato festival. No, it's this. The tomato is in Buñol. It's in, well, I'm not very sure what is it. It's nothing to do with Pamplona.
All right. Sorry.
No, it's completely different.
I've just made a huge cliched mistake, haven't I? No. I bet everyone does that. Must be very annoying for you. Okay. All right. I see. All right. Well, it's amazing that sorry to focus on the bull running, but you know, for the rest of the world, it's quite an interesting.
I hope anyone gets offended about this about the bull, because I know there is a big. Can you say polemic? Or
yeah, it's
controversial stuff. So I think, it's just.
Yeah, it can be a subject that divides people's opinions. If you start talking about bullfighting or even running with the bulls, there will always be some people who, you know, quite passionately disagree with the whole event, particularly the bullfighting, because, you know, there's a big argument about it in Spain at the moment, that some people believe that bullfighting should be banned because of the cruelty to the bulls, and yet other people, you know, see it as a tradition, and so there's always going to be some controversy surrounding it. So I suppose, yes, in London, do people sometimes mention that to you?
Yeah, it's, when we talk about this, yeah, it's one of the difficult things we talk about, the suffering of the bulls. I don't like particularly the way the bulls suffer. It's a bit disgusting. You know?
Yeah.
Well, but it's hard to, as I told you before, it's hard to talk about this.
Yeah.
Especially not in your own language.
Yes, I can imagine. Yes,
I need more vocabulary. I need more words to explain myself properly.
But... Right, I'm forcing you to talk about a very sensitive subject in a foreign language. We're nearly out of time, Aritz. But did you have anything that you wanted to say to me, or to ask me, or to say to the listeners of the podcast before we say goodbye?
I would like to say thank you for people who vote me. I think most of them were friends of mine. Mm-hmm. I would like to say hello to my brother Iñaki and my sister-in-law Isis.
Yeah.
In Pamplona. I don't know. Can you say any word in Spanish, maybe, Luke?
I'm afraid that the Spanish that I speak is very revealing, and it reveals me to be a very typical English person who spent some time on holiday in Spain and just ordered beer and hamburgers and chips. So I can order a hamburger and chips badly, which I think is something along the lines of uno hamburguesa e patatas fritas e...
Por favor.
Una cerveza, por favor. But I understand that that's extremely stereotyped version of an English man. Also, I can say donde están los sombreros.
Donde están los
Where are the hats?
It's a very useful phrase.
Exactly. If you're in Spain and you need to know where the hats are.
You can survive with this sentence.
Exactly. I took Spanish at I did some Spanish lessons when I was at university, but for various reasons, the only phrase that I remember is "Dónde están los sombreros." I think it's because for two reasons. One is that I was a terrible student and I didn't go to a lot of my lessons. Instead, I stayed at home in my bedroom playing The Legend of Zelda on my Nintendo. And the other reason is because my Spanish teacher was absolutely terrible. She was a complete disaster. She was English, but she spoke Spanish fluently, and she was like the most disorganized teacher I've ever seen in my whole life. It was hilarious. So those are my excuses for not speaking Spanish very well.
Well, I don't blame you.
Yeah, all right. Aritz, I think that we've run out of time. It's been great to speak to you.
So it's been an honor to be here.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're welcome. I hope that you have a nice evening and keep listening to Luke's English podcast, and say hello to your your sister and your brother-in-law, isn't it?
My brother, Iñaki, and my sister-in-law,
Your brother and your sister-in-law. Okay, well, I'd like to say hello to both of them, because I believe that they listen to the podcast too.
Yeah, massive fans.
Oh, wow, brilliant. Excellent. Okay, great. Well, lovely to speak to you, and take care. Have a good evening.
Okay, it's been a pleasure.
All right. All right, then.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Bye. So that was Aritz living in London. Let's move straight on with the next interview. This is the penultimate one in this episode, and this is Phil from Italy, and here it is. Hello, Phil.
Hello again.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. What about you?
Fine, thank you very much. It's a Friday morning, isn't it, right now, as we speak to each other?
Yes, it is.
What are you doing this morning, Phil?
Well, I'm actually studying at the moment.
Yes. What are you studying?
Well, I'm studying cardiology.
Right, because you're doing a medicine qualification, aren't you?
Yeah.
Does this mean that you're going to be a doctor one day?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay. Any particular kind of doctor?
Well, I'd like to be a surgeon, actually.
Wow, really? Wow, that's cool. That's obviously an awesome job, but for me, I think being a surgeon would be quite stressful, don't you think?
Yes, it is, and it is quite dangerous under
Under pressure.
Under pressure, and you have to under a low point of view. I mean, legal.
Right. Point there are legal issues related to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes there are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, good luck becoming a surgeon, Phil. Good luck with that. So you're studying cardiology this morning.
Yeah.
Right. What's cardiology? Can you explain?
Well, it's just the studying of diseases related to the heart.
Right.
It's quite various. It could relate to valvular disease or just infarction and ischemic issues. Right.
What about if your girlfriend leaves you?
Oh, that's a heart attack.
I don't suppose you ever have to deal with that. I mean, I don't know if technically that counts as cardiology, a broken heart.
Yeah.
So, all right, before we go any further, Phil, I should say congratulations for winning your group in the competition. Congratulations.
Thank you, Luke. Luke, and I'd like to thank all the people who voted for me, because I wouldn't be here without them.
That's very nice. How does it feel to be on Luke's English podcast, Phil?
Well, it feels kind of strange because I can't understand what's going on, actually. I mean, I can't imagine that these will be uploaded and I'll be able to listen this back.
Yeah, it must be really weird, right? If you've been listening to the podcast for a long time and suddenly you discover that you're actually on it. How many...
It's like if I knew you. I mean, it's like that. It's as if you are one of my friends because I've listened to pretty much all of your podcasts. Yeah. And I feel like I know you, but obviously you don't know me. And that's strange.
It is, isn't it? It's really kind of a weird phenomenon, this thing. Yeah. It's really, really strange. And I think podcasting, I mean, it's a bit like radio, but in a way it's never been done before. It's quite a new thing, this way that we can get in touch with people so easily. It is very odd. Yeah. So how long have you been listening to the podcast, by the way?
Since 2012.
Okay. All right. So you kind of caught it in the middle, but you've listened to all of the episodes, you say?
I've listened to all of them, and I probably can't remember part of each episode, if you ask me.
No, don't worry, I'm not going to test you on your ability to remember every detail of each episode of the podcast. Don't worry. In fact, I can't remember either. I can't remember all of the details and all the things that have happened in each episode. In fact,
I think it's physiological.
Yes, I expect so, yeah. I'm sure that that's obvious sometimes because I expect that I repeat myself, but who knows? Do you have a particular favorite episode, the one that you like the most?
Yes, absolutely. It's hip-hop lyrics analysis.
Oh, right.
It's fantastic, yeah.
Well, okay, because not many people say that. Usually people say things like the Pink Gorilla story or the swearing episode or something. Okay, you like the hip-hop one.
Yeah, I mean, the Pink Gorilla story, it's fantastic. I mean, but hip hop lyrics analysis has a special part in my heart.
Okay, what? Why do you say that? I wonder. What is it that you like about it?
Well, because I like the genre. I like listening to hip hop music, and but as you can probably infer. It's difficult for me to understand what they say. So I'd like to have someone who explains the lyrics to me.
Right.
Like that. I'd like to, yeah.
Right, I see. So it kind of
understand more.
It helped that I kind of went through that track. My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me by the Ghetto Boys.
Yeah.
Did you already know that track?
No, actually, I didn't. I think it was quite old for me. When I started to listen to rap music, that song was quite old.
Yeah, it's from the 90s. It's like a classic bit of 90s hip hop. That's my favorite era of hip hop, is the 90s stuff. I think the kind of mid to late 90s was just the best time for hip hop, in my opinion. And that track is just a classic.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, Phil, tell us a little bit about where you are. You're in Italy, aren't you?
Yes, I'm in Italy. I live in northern Italy near Pavia.
Okay.
Where I study. And yeah, it's quite a rural place. It's the land is just it's part of the Po Valley.
Okay.
So it's a valley.
Yeah.
And there are crops and stuff like that. I mean,
where is it near? I mean, is it near a place that we would know?
Yes, Pavia.
Okay, okay. Whereabouts is that? Because I think most people in the world listening to this will know some of the main big famous places.
Yeah, it's quite near Milan.
Okay, I see where it is. Pavia, just south of Milan. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. That's brilliant. And so I guess Milan is quite close to the mountains. Do you get to go skiing in the winter and stuff?
Yeah, sometimes I go snowboarding. I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. That's brilliant. I don't suppose, like, people, when they think of Italy, they immediately think of snowboarding. You know, people think of stuff like Rome and pizza and like the, you know, stuff like that, but not necessarily snowboarding.
No, I mean, the landscape is quite various, even if the country is quite small, I mean, compared to other countries.
Yes. Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah, you've got like the mountains in the north, and you've got like the very hot parts of the south. Is it true that there's like a sort of a north-south divide in Italy? Is there a difference between the north and the south?
Well, there is. In fact, southern Italy is less industrialized and. So it's considered to be poorer than northern Italy. So from that, everything. And so, I mean, that's the point.
Okay. So you've got like the sort of slightly poorer, more rural parts of the south, and then the north is like the industrial, more developed area, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
and it's also a little bit colder in the north, isn't it? Is that right?
It is. As you said, the nearer you get to mountains, the colder you are.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So I suppose the skiing and snowboarding season is going to start pretty soon, which is awesome. And it's the same in France, actually, because they've got the mountains to the east of France. So there's, you know, in the winter, everyone goes skiing and stuff. But I'm a bit rubbish. I have been skiing a few times, but because I'm from England, you know, we don't really have mountains where you can go skiing there. So skiing for me is like a bit of a new thing. So whenever I go skiing, I spend most of my time just falling on my ass in the snow. Which is quite—it's quite good fun.
Yeah, you have to improve, and then you'll be able to enjoy that more.
Yeah. Do you think I should snowboard instead of skiing?
It's hard, and at the beginning you just get hurt.
Really?
So you have to be mentally prepared.
I see.
For that.
Okay. So I have to be prepared to fall on my ass even more if I start snowboarding.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll bear that in mind. I think that's pretty much all we have time for, Phil.
It's fine.
It's really great to speak to you, and congratulations again.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I guess that's it then. All right. So I hope you enjoy listening to all the other episodes of the podcast that I upload in the future. I think that you haven't listened to episode 224 or 225 yet.
Yes, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't.
All right. Well, I hope you find them enjoyable and interesting in some way. So, Phil from Italy, thank you very much for talking to me on Luke's English Podcast. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
And I guess it's just time for me to say goodbye to you now.
Okay, goodbye, Luke.
Thanks a lot, Phil. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that was Phil from Italy, who I expect immediately got back to his studies to become a doctor. He's studying medicine, which I think is a very commendable thing to do. It's very difficult to study medicine. Right, so this is now the last one in this series of runner-up interviews, and this is Javier from Spain, who you will remember from his original recording. He told lots of jokes, and he had like a bunch of kids in the episode. So I spoke to him a little bit about that. So now let's listen to my conversation with Javier from Spain. Hello, Javier.
Hello.
Fine. How are you?
Very good. Well.
Welcome to Luke's English Podcast.
Well, thank you very much. What an honor.
How does it feel to be on the podcast like this?
Well, it's amazing.
Really?
Well, I don't know if I will listen to myself in some days on your podcast. It's great.
Strange to hear yourself on the podcast like the last time when you were in what was it, episode? I can't remember which episode you were in, but did it feel
the fourth one.
Did it feel a bit strange to hear yourself on the show?
Yeah, very strange.
All right. Yeah.
I'm not very used to listening to myself.
All right. Well, okay. Yeah, it must be pretty weird. But anyway, welcome to the podcast, and I should say congratulations as well.
Thank you very much.
Well done for winning your group. How do you uh-huh. feel having won such a prestigious prize? How does it feel?
Well, it's feel wonderful, amazing. It's a pity that my gang cannot be with me, but it was quite difficult to gather them with me.
I was going to ask you about all those children, actually. My listeners will remember that when you were featured in the competition, that you recorded yourself along with a bunch of kids. So how many of those children are yours exactly?
Yes, two daughters, mm-hmm. so two girls are mine, Blanca and Maria. The two girls who spoke the first, and well, I don't know if you noticed the accent. Well, the third one is another girl called Blanca, but she's from the United States. The fourth one was Fernando, who also lives in the United States, and the fifth one is Scott.
Yeah.
He lives in Spain, but he is the son of a very good Scottish friend of mine.
Okay.
So he's got a little bit of Scottish accent.
Yeah, I did hear a few different accents there. So do you have a connection to the US then, or to New York City in particular?
Yeah, because a cousin of mine went to live there like 10 years ago, and now he's American, and he has two daughters and one son and a daughter, but that's my connection because I went to the United States. I lived for 5 months there when I was 18, but it that doesn't have anything to do with my cousin living there. And so when my cousin comes to Spain, he goes to Pamplona. It's a town in the north of Spain, where my family comes from. But when he passes by Madrid, he comes to visit me with his wife and his children. Okay.
All right, that sounds very nice. That sounds great. So, so you're in Madrid then?
Yeah, I live in Madrid. Now I'm in Madrid. A week ago I was in Mexico,
right.
But now today I'm in Madrid.
You spent quite a long time in Mexico, didn't you, working there?
Well, I spent 1 month in Mexico. Well, not that's not a long time, but it was for me, far from my family. But working there with a ministry there. Ministry or secretary, I don't know how you call it.
Well, it depends. I mean, a ministry, perhaps, if it's like basically a government institution. I would say a ministry. Secretary normally is one person One official civil servant who works in the government, a state secretary, might not be voted for. That's usually a minister, but a state secretary is just a high-ranking civil servant who works for the government in some way. Yeah,
It's strange because in Spanish, in Castilian Spanish, we say ministerio, which is almost the same as ministry. Yeah. But in Mexico, they say secretaría, which is almost the same as secretary.
Right.
So I thought maybe it was in American English, they say secretary, and in British English, you say ministry.
Well,
I don't know.
Do have the word secretariat, which is, we're going down a vocabulary tangent here. I'm just going to Google the word secretariat. Actually, no, I don't. You know what? I don't need to Google it. Because I'm pretty sure it's a ministry. Which ministry was it, by the way, if you don't mind my asking?
Communication and transport.
I see, okay. So that's dealing with roads and infrastructure and stuff.
Yeah, because I work as a railway engineer, and we were helping the Mexican ministry to certain tasks. I cannot speak too much about that.
It's classified.
It's classified.
You tell me, but you'd have to kill me.
I'm not a spy.
Right, okay.
But I look like.
Do you really? Yeah, working in a government ministry with secret information that you can't share. Sounds like you're a spy, Javier. Sounds like it.
More or less. I'm going to become a spy in 2 months.
All right. You're a government agent, that's for sure.
That sounds much more interesting than the work I do.
But it's true, though, isn't it? It's true. You are technically a government agent.
More or less, it could be said.
There are just lots of different types of government agent. So you've got like government agents like James Bond, who obviously, you know, go to different countries, kill people and sleep with women. And then you've got other types of government agent who go on behalf of the Spanish government to go and do consulting on the railroad developments.
Yeah. Well, I would prefer to do the second thing that James Bond...
Really? You'd rather...
I don't like killing people, but the second thing is not
right,
that.
Right, yeah. If you could maybe avoid doing the killing and just stick to the women, but I don't think that's possible, to be honest. I don't think the government has a job for a special agent. It's like, okay, 007, what we want you to do is go to this this mysterious country on the other side of the world and sleep with as many women as possible, okay? I don't think...
come from abroad and sleep with our woman.
Secretly.
Right, secretly. Okay. Of course.
So you're glad to be back in Spain then, I guess, at the moment.
Yeah, but I have to say that Mexico DF is a great city. It's great because it's large, it's enormous. I hadn't seen such an enormous city in my life, but it has a lot of very beautiful things to sightsee there. And it's very beautiful, and people there is amazing.
Yeah, I'd love to go there one day, and I plan to actually at some point visit the place. I did have some other questions for you. I was going to ask you, so I've asked you about the children that featured in your episode, your connection to the USA. I was going to ask you about jokes, because you told a few jokes in your episode. Why did you choose to tell a few jokes in your recording?
Well, I don't know how to say because I discarded so many things. Discarded?
Yeah, discarded that? I got rid of...
Oh, I left out so many things that I said, well, why not? But as I was doing it, I was thinking to myself, when you translate a joke, many times it's not funny because, you know, you play with words and if you don't... I don't know if... There are two English jokes, the one about the skeleton and the one about the alligator, which can be understood in English, but I don't know if the Spanish jokes were easy to understand.
Was that the mother-in-law joke?
Yeah. Did you understand it?
It still works because it's not really a specific word joke. It's more just the idea of a disaster and a complete disaster. They definitely work. A disaster is when you're walking with your mother-in-law on the beach and a wave comes and washes her away oh my God, what a disaster.
Well, she's her away.
And then then the other one is that you're walking along the beach with your mother-in-law and a wave washes her away and another wave washes her back and that's a complete disaster. Yeah, it still works.
But I don't know if you in, well, in Paris or in London or wherever, if you usually love your mother-in-law.
Oh, yes. Yes, in England, it's very, very common to make jokes about your mother-in-law. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yes.
So it's the same
thing.
It's like
a very old thing that people have met and told lots and lots of jokes about their mother-in-law. It's like it's very old-fashioned, in fact, which is quite funny in itself. Yes.
Yeah, but I'm quite old-fashioned.
Well, you know, sometimes the old jokes are the good ones.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to speak to you, Javier. Thanks a lot for sending in your funny recording. It was really great to hear you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Good. Well, I hope that when you finally do listen to this, I'm not sure when this is going to get uploaded, because I've got. In fact, you're the last person that I've spoken to out of everyone, because you've been busy at the Mexican ministry doing various secret things, which we can't really talk about.
Like a spy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. You know how you've probably been saving the world. I expect you tell us that you've been helping with the railways, but I think you've probably been fighting against sort of criminal geniuses in South America or something. I don't know.
You nailed it.
Really? Okay. Well, I won't say any more about that, just to keep your reputation intact. Don't worry, I won't tell anyone. Right. I promise. I won't publish. I won't tell the entire world on this podcast, for example. Oh, I just did. Sorry. Anyway, what was I saying? You're one of the last people that I've spoken to. In fact, you are the last of the competition winners that I've spoken to. So I should be able to get this online pretty soon, and then you'll be able to hear yourself, and it'll be weird for you. I expect.
Yeah.
But thanks very much for talking to me, and congratulations again. Basically.
Thank you very much, and congratulations for your great job.
Oh, thanks. That's great. All right, great. Thank you, and have a nice day. Are you actually working today, or is it a day off for you?
No. I have to get back to work.
Oh,
now.
That's a pity.
I have come home. Well, I live quite close to my office, so I came home to hold this conversation with you.
Okay.
And now I'm getting back to office to complete what I haven't done yet.
Well, I'm very sorry to, like, you know, force you to go back to work now.
No, it was my choice.
Okay. Good.
I'm doing this because I want
it. Okay, well, excellent. Good. I'm glad. I'm sure that I wouldn't have been able to force you to do anything you didn't want to do. I mean, you are a government agent after all. You'd probably, you know, I don't know, you've probably got special kung fu skills or something you could use on me.
Yeah, maybe I need some of your English skills to combat the evil.
I think so. I think that's the key to it. Diplomatic skills rather than, you know, kung fu skills.
Yeah. The black humor.
Yes, I think so.
Also. The British humor.
Yes, that famous British humor that we all love and yet don't really understand.
Yeah. We call it black humor. I don't know if...
Yeah.
Black humor. Do you say that?
Yes,
also?
We do, yeah. We say black humor, meaning sort of dark humor or humor with a slightly sick or twisted sort of edge to it. Black humor. Yeah. So you think British humour is also black humour, that they're kind of the same thing? Okay, that's very interesting.
Are you asking me? I don't know. I don't know why we call it black humour, but I love British humour.
Oh, great. All right.
Although many times I can't understand it, but when I get it, I say, wow, that was great.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try and, you know, play some more of this weird humor to you in the future on the podcast then.
That would be great.
Excellent. Okay, look, you better get back to work. You've got important government business to attend to.
And, for sure.
Me too, in fact. Well, not really government business. I've got to write an exam. It's not very glamorous. I'm going to try and make it as difficult as possible.
poor students.
Yeah, I'm sure some of my listeners are like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm so jealous, I'd love to have Luke as a teacher. No, not really. Think twice, because I make really difficult exams.
What grammar topics are you going to ask
loads
about?
Of stuff. I mean, it's not mainly grammar, but there is a grammar section. There's like, you know, present perfect, continuous and passive forms and conditionals and articles and things like that.
Lovely prepositions.
Oh, yes. And also a really difficult reading text about American politics and an essay about, you know, like a, writing an essay. That's this. Basically, it's not going to be fun. So listeners out there, if you're listening and you're thinking that you'd like to have me as your teacher, well, think again, because it does usually involve having to go through some punishing exam process. But on the flip side, on the positive side, I do try and tell a few jokes in class. But to be honest, Javier, you know, 9 times out of 10, no one understands any of the jokes that I make. And it's either because they just don't understand it because their English isn't ready, or just the joke isn't very funny. And I think it's probably a combination of the two, to be honest with you.
I don't know about that.
I think actually the best is when it's a really good joke, and their English is good enough, and then everyone laughs, and then, you know, we all have a good time. That's the best. But it doesn't happen as regularly as I'd like it to. Yeah.
Well, have mercy of your students.
I'll be gentle. I'll be gentle. Yeah.
gentleman.
All right, great. So go and save the world with railways, and I'll go and punish my students with an exam. Okay.
Okay, save the world with your teaching.
I'll do my best.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Okay,
see you soon.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.
There was definitely a kind of delay there, wasn't there, on that one? It made me sound so rude. Anyway, there you are. That's the end of this episode. You've heard all of the interviews with the runners-up from the Your English Podcast competition. This is, I think, probably the longest ever episode of Luke's English Podcast. At the moment, it's about 1 hour and 45 minutes long. I think what I'll probably do is cut that in half. I think I'm probably going to have to cut it in half, because 1 hour and 45 minutes is way too long. Thank you very much for listening to the whole thing, and I'll speak to you all very, very, very soon. Thanks for voting in the competition. Have a really good day or night or morning or evening or whatever time it is, wherever you are. I'll speak to you again soon. Okay, goodbye then. Bye, bye, bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.